He makes me think of cats, not a sexual term. It's like, that's a female dog. It's not you, Nikki Haley. I'm not calling you that.
How do we avoid this stuff?
You do what's best for you and your family.
What's going to be the biggest issue on voters' minds?
It's 100% the border.
The grassroots candidates in this primary election, what do you think? They got a shot this time?
I think they're going to kick ass and take names.
We will see a shift in Texas politics that could last a generation.
So what would they be willing to do to ensure that doesn't happen? Yeah. Roll out the big guns, literally, of Michelle Obama.
Those are big guns. Hey, guys, I'm in my old stomping grounds over here at the Blaze Studios, and I just wanted to kind of kick it around a little bit with some of my friends. They're old friends, so they're comfortable with me, and they don't mind talking a little bit. But these are insightful people. These are people who actually know what they're talking about because they are on the front lines of both research and writing and just trying to find out, you know, what the pulse of the news is out there. But they're also pretty good with their opinions and their predictions about what we could be seeing coming up in the months leading up to Election Day in 2024. I don't know that anybody can guess the scenarios that, I'll just say this, is as wild as your imagination can go, right? Because these days, who knows what people are capable of? And I don't think the country's ever been more divided since maybe, 1863 at the advent of the actual Civil War. So let's get a little bit of their insight and hear their takes, and maybe we can have a little fun with it and try not to get banned from, social media platforms. Let's take a look. So I was having a question about, I had a conversation the other day about you, Alex, and because Alex Stein needs no introduction.
Gas prices way too high. Vladimir needs to die.
I just want to say you guys are poor representation of the youth of our nation.
I see you go out and do these city council meetings and stuff like that. You're always trolling everybody. You're never home. You're always on a plane. You're always going to another city to do this stuff. Like, I don't have the energy to do that stuff. People say, Chad, why don't you go out and do what Alex does? I'm like, no.
You're lying, dude. You travel just as much as me. No, I mean, you go on the road every weekend and literally perform in front of, thousands of people. So you know the grind is the grind. If I don't do it, if I'm not going forward, then I'm going backwards. So, dude, I don't have a choice.
Yeah, but here's the deal. When I show up, people have bought tickets, and they adore me. They love me.
The places I go, they don't like me. That is true. It's totally different. But, dude, I was talking to somebody about this. I was talking to Ryan Long. There's something in my head, Chad, where you go to an audience and you do want to win them over. And sometimes I do want to win the audience over. But, dude, there's nothing more than I like than being the heel sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I know you probably do this some nights and you're not feeling it, where you almost kind of like to mess with the audience instead of, like, kowtowing to them and trying to ingratiate yourself and make them like you. So it's kind of fun to go to these city council meetings because I'm not. I'm doing the opposite. It's like a stand-up comedy bit. I want to win you over. I want you to like me, be ingratiated to my viewpoints. But a city council meeting, it's like, no, F you, dude. You have to listen to whatever I say. And the more annoyed you get about it, the better it is for me.
You did one recently that I saw, and I don't know how recently you did it, but I just saw it recently. You went into the city council, was it Dallas or wherever, and you called the guy gay or you said he was cheating on his wife? Or
he is. He's the mayor, Eric Johnson, just got... So it just got released in his divorce, which his wife accused him that she walked in on the mayor of Dallas, Eric Johnson, with his chief of staff, Mary Albana. And during the divorce proceedings, it came up. And she also talked about how when she confronted him at the house that he said that they had slept together about 12 times and that she had the Ring doorbell security camera that she showed on court. And so I went to the Dallas City Council, and this is the guy that's – Eric Johnson has made it so hard for me to speak at these city council meetings, Chad. He's made it where they make us speak at the end of the meeting, so then you have to – and every city council meeting can be a different time, especially in Dallas, a big city. Sometimes a meeting can be 2 hours, sometimes six. So it just limits your ability to speak because of this douchebag, Eric Johnson, got caught cheating, called him out. And on top of it, the worst part about it, the girl that he was cheating on his wife with is a girl named Mary Albana, who used to be his chief staff. And when she quit, he gave her $100,000 in donations because she created a thing called Adept Strategies, which is a political consulting firm. So,
he's the mayor that converted to being a Republican, right?
Yes. But see, this is the other thing is, I think this is going to help his career. I don't know. I mean, a sex scandal honestly does not hurt your career.
No, these days it doesn't. You can have, unless you're Fannie Willis,
Yeah, but even now, Fannie Willis, she probably likes the popularity, honestly. No, on a serious note, he is a scumbag. He's not like right wing by any means, but he wants to, I think he wants to run for senator. So if he's going to be a senator, it's going to be a conservative seat usually. So I think that's why he's trying to do it. He's trying to appease both sides.
Yeah, everybody, including people that work with me and for me, they were sending me the stuff about him becoming a Republican. They're like, "See, we're winning." I was like, "No, not with this guy. You got," and I'm never wrong. So I was like, "No, you're not winning on this deal." Fannie Willis, like you talk about her, she'll probably like they'll give her a job on MSNBC.
She's going to fail upwards. She's going to be a martyr or a hero to these people. So I don't know. This scandal is probably not bad at all. I mean, Gavin Newsom, was when he was mayor, slept with his chief of staff's wife, and that didn't even affect him. You know that. I mean, I'm just saying, these guys are all perverts. They're all scumbags. I mean, Bill Clinton sticking cigars up Monica Lewinsky's, you know what. So I don't know if sexual scandals really even hurt.
I can't get anybody to have sex with me.
Especially a cigar. No way. I whip out the cigar, they run away always.
I got nowhere to stick that. Oh, wait. Oh, you're supposed to. I see what you're saying on that deal. Where were you? You went to the Nikki Haley rally. You got in trouble, but you actually issued an apology for that, which I was like, it was heartfelt. I felt that.
Yeah, I apologized because I was about to lose my job. I mean, let's be real. I mean, I'm sorry that I almost lost my job for calling Nikki Haley staffers. Oh, I'm very sorry about it. I almost lost my job. I'm incredibly sorry. That's not fake. I'm still sorry. I'm still sorry. Sorry to the Blaze, not Nikki Haley.
Because I felt the contrition on that deal, and I was like, yeah, it's not because
I called you and you didn't answer. And I put that on here. I called Chad that Monday, and he didn't answer. I didn't want to text him because I knew.
I like to keep myself a little bit separated from the scandal. You know what I mean?
I was calling you because when it went viral, you know, so for the people that don't know, is I went to Nikki Haley's campaign event here in Dallas, and I called one of her staffers a hoe. I didn't really call her a hoe. I said all the hoes know me because she said she knew who I was. And then I asked her if she had an OnlyFans, and that was like the biggest thing. Every pearl-clutching Republican, oh, my God, he has the girl. She has an OnlyFans. Well, yeah, that's the joke. I'm playing like a crazy liberal. I was also saying Black Lives Matter and No Justice, No Peace at the event. They don't say that, but listen, comedy gets lost on these people. I understand that it looks bad in a no-context clip, me saying to a Nikki Haley staffer, hey, do you have an OnlyFans? But it caused a lot of backlash, and that's why I called you, because all these damn people are tweeting you, Sarah, anybody with a Blaze thing, Steve. I mean, that's what pisses me off. I think it's kind of funny, but it pisses me off when they're going after my company, they're going after other hosts, and then they have to defend my behavior or ignore it, and it puts them and you in an awkward situation.
Yeah, I didn't see any of that. I just chose
to
ignore it.
Tagged at all?
I did, but yeah, I choose to ignore it.
I saw Chad Prather tagged in some stuff.
Yeah, I actually like it. Like I just sent a Newsweek article about our friend Steve Baker to somebody, and I didn't realize I was quoted in this Newsweek article until I went over and read it.
And so you're.
So I try not to pay attention to my press, you know, there's so much of it.
Honestly, I don't even like to Google myself because it usually just, you know, hey, it ends badly. But I guess in a way, though, I am to those young girls that are just working the Nikki Haley event. I guess like I wasn't really trying to be rude to them, but I was talking to them. They know Nikki Haley's not going to win. They know that they're just clout chasing on their campaign, so they know it's a joke. So they were actually really nice. The girls, people on Twitter got really mad, but the girls were laughing about it. It was not, come on. You know, I'm a pimp on a blimp. To a pimp, everybody's a hoe. But I am sorry.
He is the pimp on a blimp, Primetime 99, Alex Stein. And I watched it. I was watching when you were, you know, doing the thing. And I was like, that's not going to come back right.
Yeah, I know. And I called one of her the P word. I thought the P word's okay. I'm a cat breeder now. I have cats and, you know, I deal with cats. So for me, the word pussy makes me think of cats, not a sexual term. That's on you for that word being sexual. When you have toxoplasmosis and you love cats, it's like, bitch, that's a female dog. It's not you, Nikki Haley. I'm not calling you that. I'm saying I have a female dog, Ginger. Technically, dictionary definition, that's a bitch. You're the one that's making it a slur, not me. I'm just using the words as they are written in Webster's dictionary.
That's where my brain went when I heard it. I was like, female dog.
Well, 1,000. You're a large animal vet. You know that, don't you? In veterinary school, don't they use the term bitch?
They do. Bitch, damn. Yeah.
They do.
The whole thing. Sire.
That's what I'm saying. So these are real words. So don't. You're the one that is interpreting it incorrectly. I'm just using cats and dogs, the most lovable animals on earth. That's what I'm referencing.
Get your vocabulary from a guy who just said, interpretate it.
I have a C student that graduated from LSU by just, you know, barely making it. I don't want to say cheating, but I copied a lot of homework. So I made it out of there alive. You can too. Even an idiot like me can make it, so can you. Yeah.
And as a disclaimer, I'm not a large animal vet. Do not send me any videos of your cows or horses asking me what's wrong with them, okay? I'm retired from that job, but I will stick my arm up.
Send it to me. I'm kind of an unofficial vet. Just send it to me. I can give you all the... And I know a place where you can order all the medication from Ecuador. No prescription.
Ivermectin.com.
Horse tranquilizer. Well, I take a lot of horse tranquilizer, so I know, yeah.
All right, prime time with Alex Stein. Watch him. He'll get you in trouble.
Yep.
And then he'll call you and get you in trouble even more.
Get you all implicated right in the crime a little bit.
Hey, guys, the information I'm about to share with you could radically change your life. I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you because right now there's a silent epidemic that is affecting over 100 million Americans. You know what it is? It is a fatty liver. You want to know why you feel sluggish, why you can't sleep, why you gain weight? You feel terrible. It's because you're throwing everything at your liver, cholesterol, toxins, alcohol, cigarettes, you name it. It's crazy. Your liver does so many things to help you every single day, so many different functions. You ought to be helping your liver. So I want to encourage you, if you want to look better, you want to feel better, you want to sleep better, fix your liver, okay? And you can do that with Liver Health Formula. It's an all-natural supplement. It contains 11 clinically proven botanicals that will help recharge and protect your liver. The company's already helped more than 2 million fellow Americans with their products, and they're a proud sponsor of this show for a long time, and I'm proud to continue telling you all about Liver Health Formula. You can try Liver Health Formula and get 5 free gifts from the company. You heard me correct. That's 5 gifts for free. You got to go to getliverhelp.com/Chad. Claim your free bonus gifts with your order today. It's helped people in my family. It's helped me. I take it daily. Getliverhelp.com. That's getliverhelp.com/Chad. All right. Jason Buttrell, Chief Researcher, Blaze Media. 2024 is an interesting year. I know Election Day is coming. Like, we'll see what happens with all of that stuff. If Trump, the presumptive nominee for the Republican Party, if Trump is the guy, how far do you think the left is willing to go to make sure he does not get elected? What are some scenarios as we head towards the election? What do you think?
Oh, throw him in jail. No question.
Yeah.
I mean, I still think that even though he's had some success, like the Supreme Court ruling today, which, by the way, if that would not have happened, I don't even want to think about what, because I think there's tripwires in the country right now. And I think both sides, because we're just so fractured as a country, I think there's tripwires in this country that everyone's just waiting for. But if you're told that you can't vote for the candidate that you want to vote for, mm-hmm. but somehow the democracy is at stake, yeah. you know what I mean? But the same people that are saying that are also trying to get him kicked off ballots so you can't vote for the guy. But if the Supreme Court would have ruled opposite and would have said, yeah, we're not going to do anything about that, can you imagine?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want people to get violent, but it's almost like they're pushing people to get violent.
You don't want people? Don't answer that question. The great political philosopher Whoopi Goldberg said on The View that she thinks that Biden should throw all Republicans into jail, which, of course, is what they always accuse the right of trying to do, right? We've seen how the left can mobilize and burn down buildings, burn down cities, set up chaz and chop zones, throw bricks and, you know, smash, grab, loot, the whole different thing. You talk about there being tripwires. I mean, what does that look like if the right just decided to say, hey, we're gonna take this thing and get it kinetic? I mean, it's about to get physical here. I mean, you start choosing up sides and things like that. I mean, is there a scenario whereby that even – how do you mobilize that? What does it look like? This almost sounds like a strategy session. It's not. This is a comedy show. It's a comedy show.
Well, I don't think that it'll ever come to that. I really don't. I think that it would have to get very extreme for us to go to those ends. And I also think that both sides would have to have ultimate conviction. My example for that is even the border. Like that's kind of like our red line at this point, not only for the right, but I think a lot of the country is now saying, wait a minute, this is absolutely getting out of hand. And you had the Abbott administration say, like, okay, fine, this is Texas versus the federal government. And, you know, we're going to see Shelby Park and Eagle Pass. And, you know, we got it from here. Well, I actually have a documentary coming out on Blaze Originals this week where we went down to Eagle Pass, We went with the, you know, the Take Our Border Back convoy, rode with them, but went down to Shelby Park. And I don't want to give too much away, but let me just say, I now believe that what Texas and Abbott are doing at the down there at the border is one giant photo op. I do not believe they're sincere. I know it sounds sincere. I know a lot of Republican governors have joined in with it because they think it sounds sincere at all. But they could solve this thing like that. Mm-hmm. President Trump basically did. Biden knocked everything out, but that was mostly political things that they did. Phone calls they made, executive orders they signed. They could solve it right now if they wanted to. But it's too politically advantageous for them to make it continue to be an issue that drives us apart. So none of them do. Nobody on the right or the left. They have no issues whatsoever. So I question their entire conviction across the board.
Well, I always say on this show, I'm never wrong. And so it being a photo op, I've got a lot of pushback from people who are saying, oh, no, he's doing all of these great and wonderful things. Yeah, well, to me, that's the same as Biden saying we got to pass a bill. I mean, the guy signed 94 executive actions in his first 100 days as president to overturn everything Trump was doing at the border. Now he needs another law passed. I just don't not buying into that nonsense. And you talk about convictions. You know, Joe Biden's approval rating on any particular topic that's a major hotbed issue amongst voters is he never is above like 35% at this stage. I mean, he's consistently 65 to 68% disapproval. So I don't think that those are Civil War level convictions that people have. Like, they're not going to go to battle for Joe Biden. But come November, is Joe Biden the candidate on the ballot? What do you think?
Ooh, that's a good question. And I've got actually got a there's a vote going around the studios up here, and Glenn's involved, Stu's involved. I'm kind of on board that sometime after tomorrow, which is Super Tuesday, I don't know when this is airing, but sometime after Super Tuesday, that he'll be taken off. And I think they're we will win this no matter what would be Michelle Obama, Gavin Newsom.
Yeah, them together.
Yeah.
On the same ticket.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I mean,
God, that's frightening. Yeah, I'd rather die.
Get your prepper stuff ready. That's what I'm saying. Just get it ready.
You know, I've said forever. I you know, my prediction has been they'll get to the DNC, they'll get through the convention, and he'll be the guy, and then they can within 3 weeks like replace him with whoever whatever candidate they want, right? Isn't that the law, or that's the rules with the DNC,
yep,
or something? Then that person, whoever the candidate's going to be, doesn't have to do any campaigning to get through the primaries. So, you know, here we are, as we say, maybe timestamp tomorrow as we're taping this is Super Tuesday. But there's no way that guy's on the ballot.
I don't think so.
No.
I do not think so. No, I mean, your approval ratings, everything, he is gone. I mean, and they are terrified of a Trump win. Terrified. So what would they be willing to do to ensure that doesn't happen?
Yeah.
Roll out the big guns, literally, of Michelle Obama.
Oh, those are big guns. Action Mike. All right, Jason Buttrell, appreciate you, brother.
You bet, dude.
Yep.
Thanks.
His predictions always come true. All right, hey, we're sitting here with my friend Jill Savage. She's a host at The Blaze, and I'm getting everybody's takes on 2024. Not the election. How long before we start seeing, like, wild and crazy stuff, left versus right? I mean, because obviously we're divided. What is your prediction for the next few months heading up to November?
You know, I said the summer of riots, I really wanted them to stay back in 2020, but I really don't think that we're going to have nice things. I think that 2024 is going to be just as crazy as the summer of 2020, and we're actually going to level it up because that's what we always do, right? What we did last time, not going to be enough. The movie Civil War comes out in April. So it'll have to wait until after that. But after that, I don't have a time frame. It's just sometime after the movie is released when they are, you know, doing the predictive programming. We already had the Obama movie come out where the preppers were the good people in the movie. And they're like, oh, my gosh, he knew. How did he know? It's like that's actually really scary when it's an Obama produced movie and you see that kind of stuff going on.
See, now I'm thinking, because if you think about the movies like, what was it, Hunger Games and Divergent and Star Wars and The Matrix, everybody was on the side of the resistance, right? But that's not true in the real world. Like, the people that are resisting the federal government, pushing back against big government or governmental overreach, those are the bad guys. We're the conspiracy theorists. We're the weirdos out there that are floating all these ideas. But that's interesting because So what you're saying basically is we got to get through the movie first.
Right.
We get through the movie, and then we'll see what happens in reality. But see, I don't ever see people on the right burning down buildings or taking over cities or looting, smashing, grabbing. Do you think we're capable of such behavior?
That's not our move, right? That's not what we do. We aren't the George Soros funded. Everything is laid out. The bricks are ready to be thrown into the building. That's not our side. But if there's chaos in the streets everywhere, at some point, what does that spill over into, right? You have to protect your own businesses. And, you know, we saw that with the summer of the riots. I think it'll be more self-preservation, protect my business, protect my life, protect my family. And then they'll always spin it into us being the bad people, though.
Yeah, and the progressives, you know, that those organizations that don't really exist, those lefty weirdos out there that take to the streets and burn things down. What's funny about that whole deal is they don't have to worry about the legal consequences from anything that they do. You know what I'm saying? So they don't have to worry about anything. You and I get put under the jail for just being within a quarter mile of the Capitol building on January 6th.
J6ers are in prison for 18 years without doing really much of anything. And the district attorneys everywhere are getting liberals off and actually going out and helping them fund their court cases and making sure that they can get out of jail with nothing to lose.
Nothing to lose. Well, Jill Savage, I hope you're not right. Like, I don't
me
know.
Too.
Like, first of all, look at me. I'm sitting on this couch. I'm like fat and dumpy. I look like Jabba the Hutt. There's no way I can't run down the street and fight anybody. Like, I talk tough online, but nobody's scared of this at all. Like, you're still lithe and skinny. Like, you could still move.
No, but I've seen your Instagram videos, and I've seen the safe, which is an entire room. So I think that you're a little bit better off, but there's nothing there because unfortunately they all fell in the bottom of a river at one point in time. But at one point in time you were ready to go.
Strapped. My gun collection is renowned at this point. Somebody asked me recently, they said, how many guns can you shoot at one time? I was like, I can surprise you. How many appendages does a man have? Trust me, we can pull a trigger. Okay. Jill Savage, we're here hoping that she's not correct. I want to tell you, though, about our sponsor, United Patriot Coin. You know, if you follow me on social media at all, United Patriot Coin's been a good friend of mine for a long, long time. They are who I trust for gold and silver. A lot of times people in the hard economic times are trying to figure out, you know, this, you know, economic uncertainty that we're living in with all these weird things that are going on in our world. What do you do? Well, I always advise people you need to have some gold and silver. And I know there are people out there who say, well, you can't eat gold and silver. Trust me, you need some gold and silver on hand. You need some bullion. You need some coins. You need some stuff you can barter with. There's various things you can use to do that with, but some gold and silver would be a good thing to have on hand. So the folks that I trust, UnitedPatriotCoin.com, head over there. You can call them on the phone as well. Talk to Trey on the phone. Tell them Chad sent you. And he'll walk you through all kind of investment opportunities that are out there. So check them out. So here's the thing that a lot of folks don't realize, and that is the state of Texas, similar to the state of California, is very influential to things that happen in the rest of the country. The reason being is because, well, they're big and they have a huge population. They have a huge say in the national outcome of the way things work on a federal level in the United States, but also their economies are so big, coupled with the fact that they are border states. And so much of what's happening and being talked about in our nation right now is because of people coming across the border. So what if you could have a conversation with Texas lawmakers, get their insight, get their understanding, and get their outlook of what's about to happen in the great state of Texas? So we're going to head over to a rally for my friend Mitch Little. If that name is familiar to you, well, it's probably because you were paying attention to the Ken Paxton, Attorney General Ken Paxton, impeachment trial, which turned out to be a big embarrassment for those who were coming after the nation's most powerful attorney general. Tends to work out that way, especially when the attorney general happens to be on, in my opinion, the side of truth. So we went to one of his campaign rallies because being a lawyer and being a hero wasn't enough. He decided to run for the Texas State House in his district. Let's talk to him. Let's talk to some others. Let's talk to the attorney general himself. And let's see what the outlook is for Texas, because as we all know, so goes Texas, so goes the nation. Here we go. Hey guys, welcome to the Insanity. We're at a campaign event for Mitch Little, and he is running for the State House here in Texas. There's a kind of a menagerie of who's who here, and the thing they have in common is they're all patriots. They love this country, they love Texas, and they want to talk about it. So every now and then you get together with a whole bunch of crazy red-blooded Americans that believe in conservative values and hold dear to those. And when you get them all together, you never know what's going to happen. So I want to try to talk to them a little bit, find out what they think 2024 is going to hold, what it looks like, what's coming, maybe get a few predictions out of them. Let's talk about some of the setbacks we faced in the last year, how we can overcome them. Do they believe in the polling that's happening right now? Are they surprised by any of the headlines? What are the most important issues that they're facing or that we're facing in this country right now? And how do we deal with them as we move forward? So let's go in, let's talk to some folks and have a good time, because that's what it's all about. All right, so Shelley Luther, she's pretty famous, actually. I know you hate it, but everybody knows the news story about the whole salon owner shutdown. You're sick of being called a salon owner, and you're a friend of mine, and you're a lot more than that, obviously. You're running for the state house. You're running as rep for District 62, which is Grayson County?
Yes, Grayson, Fannin, Franklin, and Delta.
Now, the specific question I have for you, because this is happening right now, this will air later, but it's happening right now. The CDC has now come out and said that COVID should just be treated like the flu. Oh. Now, that's what we've been saying. Did you see this? Did you see that at all?
I haven't seen it yet, but it doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. Well, when you consider how many businesses were shut down and how many lives were ruined and just lost relationships, I mean, everything. I mean, lives were shut down. You lived through that. They literally put you in jail for opening your business.
Right.
Here in the state of Texas.
For the flu.
Yeah. For what they're now saying should be treated like the flu. And now they're even saying that 5 days of, quarantining yourself, don't even worry about that anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just can't with them anymore. I just can't. But I know it's probably going to happen again at some point, and we need to stand up again.
Which is my question. So you're running here in Texas. Because we've had some setbacks in the prior years. We know that. What do we need to avoid moving forward? Because I'm reasonably confident in your race. Everything's looking, do you feel like it's looking positive?
I think it looks pretty good right now. We're cautiously optimistic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, how do we avoid this stuff in the days ahead?
You know, it's crazy, but you know what's best for yourself and your family, and you just do that. That's what I've told everybody for the last almost 4 years now. You do what's best for you and your family, and no one else needs to decide that or get in your way about that.
Yeah. Well, listen. She's a hardened criminal. She's done time. All right.
I've worn the stripes.
So let me tell you, when she says it, you better take it, because she'll punch you in the mouth with it. She's seen some things.
I learned that in prison.
All right. Well, good luck heading into this thing. You bet.
Thank you.
They've tried to get me here to do a show for a long time, and this is the first time I've ever been here. Different kind of thing. Sarah Gonzalez, the host of Sarah Gonzalez Unfiltered. You're looking very fringy today. Are you on the fringe?
I am. Yeah. I am a MAGA extremist on the fringe, fringe right.
I heard a rumor that you're actually a man that transitioned into a woman. I saw the science on Twitter. Yeah. Did you have a response for any of that?
I think the evidence speaks for itself.
We'll take a look later. I kid. All right, we're up here with all of these other, all these candidates. A lot of them are running for state house positions. You think grassroots candidates can win at all anymore at this stage in the game with the way things are?
In this climate, yes, because the RINOs have pitted themselves so heavily against the grassroots, especially with the impeachment of Ken Paxton. I think that flipped a switch in a lot of people and got them more active and involved. And I think if it's going to be a time, it's going to be now.
So you think a lot of the RINO Republicans kind of self-sabotaged through the Ken Paxton impeachment and the setbacks, and now with the border and a lot of different issues. Let me ask you, going into this next few months before November, what's going to be the biggest issue on voters' minds? Is it the economy? Is it the border? What do you think?
It's 100% the border. It's the border and the crime that is being, you know, imported into our country. And the, I mean, you could say the economy is even part of the border issue because it's a drain on everything. It's a drain on our resources. It's an increase in crime. It's a drain on our economy. It's a drain on everything. And it's all ties back to the border.
The polls have Trump. And this is the last question I'll ask you. And you can go back to being you.
I'm still me.
Yeah, I know you sort of. My face is so baby-faced. Look at it. I shaved it. I woke up this morning. I was like, what did you do? My beard was looking so good. The polls, New York Times actually came out and showed the polls showing Trump 5 points solidly ahead of Biden. Do we believe the polls at all anymore when it, you got that coming out, even though it's favorable towards Trump? What do you think?
I would say I would believe it only because Biden has done so poorly for such a long time. But I wouldn't bank on it so much as to say don't go vote, right? Like, every vote counts, and we need the process to play out the way that it should in order for all of that to be secured. But it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, all of these independents who wanted Biden in because they thought, oh, Trump tweets mean things, they're now seeing the ramifications of putting Joe Biden in. And I don't think they want another 4 years of that.
Well, I know that the other polls, the Fox poll showed that Biden on every critical issue has a disapproval rating between 65 and 68% on every single critical issue. So we'll see what happens. Now, you've been, Katie Sims, you've been on the campaign trail a lot this year. I'll ask you what I asked some others. Do grassroots candidates, in the past they've had a hard time, do grassroots candidates in this primary election, what do you think? They got a shot this time?
I think they're going to kick ass and take names.
Why do you think so?
I think from everything we're seeing in the field, the calls we're getting, the texts we're getting, the donations we're getting, people are fed up. They're ready to change this stuff in Texas. We're ready for grassroots candidates.
Yeah, I think the establishment Republican rhinos have kind of sabotaged themselves a lot with the sham impeachment trial and just the open border. I mean, just not getting things done, no priorities. So I hope you're right on that thing. Looking at the federal level, looking at the national scene, you think that Biden's going to be the candidate come November? You think he'll be their guy?
Nope. I think it's going to be Newsom or Michelle Obama.
Yeah, probably a pretty good guess. That's what I've said.
Yeah.
And I think they'll get through the DNC. He'll be the candidate, and then they'll just replace him.
I think they will, brother. I don't think there's any chance Biden goes through November.
Yeah.
I don't.
You get online and you see what everybody's got to say, all the trolls and all the people. I see all the mentions that you get. I get a lot of them, too. You ready to just go out there and kick some ass?
I'm ready to kick some ass, brother. And one thing I'm sick of is these rhino politicians, when you call them out to ask them a question. I had one call me a boy this morning, and I said, boy, I'm 20 years older than you. I got your boy that you don't want.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that was an elected politician?
From Frisco, Texas.
Holy smokes. Wow. I mean, the condescending attitude that these folks have.
They don't want accountability.
No, I mean, you know, you had Sarah Gonzalez. She's been escorted out of campaign events.
Yep.
You've seen it firsthand.
Absolutely.
And I saw just from the posting that we put out promoting this event, how many people were saying, oh, there's not a single patriot in that group. You know, every one of those people in there should probably be in jail. Just the garbage rhetoric from lefty progressives that don't have a damn clue about anything going on.
No, they don't. I'll tell you, for us, for me and Jacinta speaking, this is our family. Y'all are our family. If we didn't have y'all, I don't know what I'd be doing, but y'all give me energy, you give me strength, you give me a reason to fight. Yeah. And that's why we're here.
I love it, brother. All right. Go back to having fun.
Thank
you. Jacinta, why's Texas got to be so big? Look at that tan. You look like me, girl. Yeah, I've been rubbing cream. Come here. Hang on, Andy. Hang on a second. You block walking?
Yeah.
You out there knocking on doors?
Yes.
Do people talk to you?
Well, yes.
They do?
Yes.
They don't ever slam the door in your face?
No. No.
It's because you're pretty.
Oh, thank you. You
mean as a snake, too, and I know you cook. You kick that door in. You go in there. What's people's response when you're out campaigning? Because you've been working on the Shelley Luther campaign.
They love Shelley. Yeah. They love Shelley because she's the only person, man or woman, that stood up against the tyranny of the government. Yeah. The only one across this country. So,
and she's got the jail time to prove it.
She's got the, and we went to jail for it too.
Yeah, got the little tattoo of that little teardrop right there under her eye.
Yeah, plus, yeah, yeah, plus she's, you know, she's easy to look at too. So
I've never paid any attention to any of that. I wouldn't know. Here's the priorities when you come to these campaign events. Thank you, my brother. Andy Hopper. Andy, I'm going to spill that. Cheers. You put your drink down. Put your, you drinking a Coke?
Yeah.
See, I love, you always know candidates. They're being good. Yeah. They're being good.
Yeah, it's not a good idea to drink and socialize.
No, that's why I'm not running for anything right now. Yeah,
there you go.
So you're running for House Seat 64.
Yes, sir.
Where is that in Texas?
So that's all of Wise County. It's the northwest corner of Denton County. So, anyways, it used to be that we were with Parker County. That's Mike Alcott's district that he's running against now. But, man, I tell you what, it's a crazy race.
It's totally different. It's a crazy race in that I've seen a lot of the Alcott supporters that are really kind of taking on some weird leftist tactics with the attack and the smear campaigns.
You mean Rogers?
Yeah. Rogers, I'm sorry. Yeah. I mean, it's insane, those tactics that are out there, and it's like,
no, it's bonkers. Like, only the left goes after the right for being too far to the right. Like, they're basically absorbing the same attitudes, the same tendencies that the left has, accusing us of crazy things like those neo-Nazis, you know? And it's like, come on, y'all. Are you actually Republicans? Are you going to stand up and support our Republican values? Or are you going to basically complain and say that, you know, we're too adamant about some of the things that make Texas, Texas, fighting for, you know, secure borders, fighting for elections to be secure. These are things they don't talk about. They don't want to talk about. So anyways, yeah, no, I mean, it's, if you see a mailer, they actually sent a mailer in my district yesterday that attacks Rick Green as being some sort of crazy conservative. Can you believe that? Like, Rick Green is beloved. You know, he's the man. So Don Huffines was on a mailer. Like, they're making fun of Don Huffines. How could you do that?
You can't do it. And I mean, not without creating a false, you know, reality. My rep down in Montgomery County, Steve Toth, his opponent was sending out stuff basically accusing him of being a neo-Nazi because of, you've heard the rhetoric. I mean, they're going to, it's like a house divided can't stand. And when you have this type of tactic going on, it makes you wonder, you know, what does the future look like? Two questions. Do grassroots candidates, do they really, because in the past they've struggled, do they have a chance this go around? And the second one is the future of Texas with the cities all gone blue, the future of Texas, how long before we're kind of off the cliff in regards to running to the left?
Yeah. So the first question is, I do think we have a chance. And I think the thing that is transformative this race is that, first of all, the whole Democrat chairs thing has now had two cycles to percolate. Everybody in my district knows about it. I don't even have to explain it. They know, they may not understand what committee chairs are, but they know we're surrendering power to the Democrats and they know who's doing it. And it takes time for that to sink in. So I think that's one thing. The other transformative thing is this Ken Paxton impeachment. You know, it sucks that, you know, General Paxton had to go through all this, but the fact that he did, especially in rural Texas, people are pissed. They're really mad and they're ready to stand up. And that's something you really can't really predict. But you're seeing it. People are coming out of the woodwork to stand up for the attorney general. But as far as what we have a chance, yeah, I do think we have a chance because there are so many political refugees from California moving into rural Texas. They may not be moving into Denton. They may not be moving into Austin. But they're moving into Wise County. And you can see, like, these people see what is going on in Texas. And they know this is what happened in California. This, like you say, this rhetoric of calling conservatives neo-Nazis and trying to frame them. They're like, they did this in California 20 years ago where the right absorbed the tactics of the left and started going against real conservatives. So they're actually standing up. And the thing that makes Texas kind of unique is even though we have five blueberries in the state that are basically turning the state blue, we have like 100 cities in this state that are 100,000 or more that are like the Longviews and the Abilenes, the Midlands and the Odessas and the Shermans and the Tylers. And those are actually what is pulling the state to the right. So I think we have a chance, but we cannot surrender our conservative values. We can't surrender the high moral ground and the positions that we have.
Yeah. So goes Texas. So goes the nation, man. Andy, good luck in 64, brother.
Appreciate it, sir.
Appreciate you. All the backers, Texas for Lawsuit Reform, ART, and Dave Phelan, they're going down. We're going to get a bunch of conservatives in there, and we're going to. How many of you know that our attorney general who just spoke, there was an attempt of a sham impeachment down in Austin earlier this year?
Are you tired of Canada? Traitor Trust. You vote Judah for judge on the constitutional conservative in this race. It's time to take Texas back.
I think it's time the conservatives strap the sharpest object available and get in a fight, because our institutions have been taken over by the left. Their time is over. This is our time. Let's go out there on Tuesday and take it back. Jay Sherbro, Senate District 30. Thank you. People who believe not only in the dream of the Constitution, the ideal of our founding fathers, but believe that Texas is the greatest place that has ever been conceived in the human history, all in anybody's mind in human history. Texas is the center of the universe.
All right, Weston Martinez. Let me tell you something. This dude right here, he'll shock you with his knowledge. The stuff he knows about Texas, the stuff he knows about how this state ought to be working, it'll blow your mind. Are you running for something? Are you about to run for something? What are you doing?
I'm working on making sure that we put Joe Biden back in the real nursing home he needs to go into. And I'm about to announce that I'm running for state chair of the Republican Party of Texas so we can secure our elections and secure our borders. Because if we don't secure one, we'll never secure the other.
What does that role do? I mean, why is that important? What's the deal there?
Well, it's the chairman of the board of directors for the Republican Party of Texas. So you're overseeing all of the party function, which means you're overseeing also the elections, and you're also raising money to get out the vote and to make sure that you're having good quality individuals and making sure the legislature actually listens to the grassroots. But every 2 years, we also have a political party where we have the largest political party on the planet to nominate who we're sending to the Electoral College. But in between that, we're running on getting people elected in all these races. But I'm telling you, this is the key on how we beat George Soros and how we secure our elections. And there's some key things we're going to do with that. And people like you that have had a voice will have an amplified voice, because we just want the truth, biblical worldview, constitutional worldview, that'll let everybody be freer in this state. Because if this state's the only state we have to save the United States of America. And we got to work together to do it.
I like that idea of having an amplified voice. I'm all about that, baby. Absolutely. Let's lengthen those tent stakes and rock and roll. Hey, be sure you're following Weston Martinez on social media. He'll blow your mind.
And stop feeding the rhinos.
No more rhino vision. All right, District 93, Texas State Rep, Nate Chatsline. Why do you do what you do?
Oh, man, it's for the next generation. Look, we're out here fighting. And the reality is, that's a great question that a lot of rhinos in Austin need to be asked. Why are you doing what you're doing? Because if it's not to secure the next generation from wokeism, then stop wasting your time and wasting taxpayer dollars. We need real, true fighting conservatives in the Texas House, or else don't run.
Yeah, there's a lot of people, I think, out there that are looking at elections and they're thinking they're not secure. What's the point? I went to the polling place the other day, man, and it was packed. I mean, the lines were out the door. Do you think people are a little more enthusiastic at this point about what they see going on, especially here in Texas after Paxton's trial and just the nonsense they've seen? What do you think?
People are angry. People are upset that their values are not being stood for. The reality is, for generations in Texas, we've seen politicians say whatever they need to say to get elected. They prostituted the church for votes. They prostituted Republicans for votes. They prostituted conservative organizations for votes. And now there's a real fine line. What the Paxton impeachment did was it set a line between those that are willing to stand for our values and those that are just going to go along to get along down in Austin. And so to every conservative right now who's looking for who to vote for, here's the three questions I ask a representative if I'm going to get behind them. Did you vote for impeachment, or would you? Do you believe in banning Democrat committee chairs because we're the only state that gives power back to Democrats even though we have the majority? And then third, are you going to support Dave Phelan, who has vowed to give Democrats committee chairmanship? Those three questions are going to tell you who our conservatives are and who they're not.
Isn't it funny that here in Texas we can talk about things and talk about, like, the Speaker of the House, Dave Phelan? You can mention that, and people all over the country, it's become notorious, right? Everybody knows that. So I think people are realizing how big of a deal what happens here in Texas affects the rest of the country, because everywhere is a border state now. And so what's happening here is going to affect their lives. So I'll tell you this, Nate, if I was starting a boy band, you'd be in it, okay?
Thank you.
Yeah, you're a man, brother.
Appreciate you.
Thank you, pal. Love you, pal. Mitch Little, you wore him out in the impeachment sham. I mean, you wore him out. attorney for Ken Paxton. What in the world made you decide to run for office for House Seat 65 in Texas?
I just don't think that the Texas House can be occupied by people who are willing to do that to another Republican or really anybody, Chad. We can't have people who are impeaching other people without evidence. The rule of law has got to matter. It's got to matter to Republicans. I know it matters to the people of this district. It's just about the votes. We need conservative votes in this district, Chad.
Do you think that that impeachment trial worked out to be a positive thing, even though they intended it for evil? I mean, it exposed a lot, right?
My God, used it for good. I mean, I said that at the end of the trial when we were in the middle of the press gaggle. I said what they intended for evil, God intended for good. It's like that domino meme. Dave Phelan has a few too many cocktails one night, and now we've got the conservative resurgence right here in Texas. Yeah. I want to be a part of it.
Yeah, and it blew the door open for grassroots candidates. You're doing it. I'm telling you, you're the person for the job. The incumbent that's in there, got to go. Absolutely. She's got to go.
I believe things are going to get better. It's going to start on Tuesday, Chad.
I'll tell you this. If candidates like yourself and some of these other candidates that were here tonight end up in the state house again, it's going to be a game changer.
The state will change for the better. Yeah. For a very long time. We will see a shift in Texas politics that could last a generation. And that's why I'm doing this. Yeah. It's for these amazing people you saw here tonight who just want to have somebody come home, look them in the eye, and say, I was there for you.
I love it. Mitch Little, seat 65, baby.